Okay, so let's start by praying because I think I need it. Okay. Thank you, Jesus, for the honor of standing here and just preaching to these wonderful group of people, God. And I just pray that your Holy Spirit would come and it would come and fill me and that I only say the words that you have put on my heart, God. And I pray that hearts would be cut in two by your sword, God, and that people will come to you. May we step one step closer to you today. Bless your word, in Jesus' name, amen. In the beginning of the year, we were sitting around as elders. We like to meet. Sometimes we have fun on a boat. Sometimes we sit in a dark room and we try to be serious. And we were talking about the preaching for the whole year. And Leonard said, I want some women to start preaching and like more women to take the stand. So I said, okay, I guess I can preach. I'm not too afraid, just very afraid. So I said, okay, I'll do it. And then we were talking about, so he said, just like when a topic jumps out to you, you can put up your hand. So then I put my hand up with conflict. I'm like, seriously, do you not know the first thing about preaching is you're going to get tested on whatever you preach about? I thought I'd do pretty well in the conflict zone, but apparently not so much. So what we're going to do is we're going to look at one big conflict story in the Bible, and that is Jacob and Esau. And we'll start right at the very beginning where life starts in the womb. So, Isaac and Rebecca were praying for a son. They were having trouble falling pregnant. And then she finally got pregnant, and she got pregnant with twins. So I can just imagine twins are pretty big, and you know, she's probably walking around, she's carrying heavy on these twins, and she was feeling that these two are just fighting. They are just kicking each other and wrestling with each other in the womb already. So she says, God, what is this? And then he comes to her and he says, in Genesis 25:23, two nations are in your womb, and two peoples from within you will be separated. One people will be stronger than the other, and the older will serve the younger. I think she must have gone like, what? Seriously, it's already hard to parent. Now you're telling me I'm going to parent two people that are fighting in my womb, and this is now I'm going to parent these two kids. And yeah, they came out. They were very different. One liked mom. Esau liked dad. Jacob liked mom. And they were very different. One liked cooking and stewing, and Esau was the fighter and the hunter. And so they grew up to be very, very different. And then we all know the story. So Jacob comes and he tricks Esau into taking some stew from him in change for his birthright. So Esau must have been very, very hungry because to change your birthright for a bowl of stew. Anyway, so I'm sure he was pretty sad about that. And then Isaac, their dad, was getting older and he was on his deathbed. And Rebecca, the mom, heard Isaac say, okay, bring Esau, go out hunting and bring me back some nice stew, and then I can bless you. And Rebecca's like, come on, Jacob, you're my favorite. Come on, let's go. We got to steal this blessing. And he's like, but I'm not Esau. No worries. I am the master of disguise. She puts on like bear stuff and makes him hairy, and now he's like very good representation of Esau. And Isaac must have been very old because he got tricked. So in Genesis 27:27, he gives this blessing that was supposed to go to Esau. He's giving it to Jacob. Oh, the smell of my son. See, woman, we know how to trick. It's like the smell of a field that the Lord has blessed. May God give you heaven's dew and earth's richness, an abundance of grain and new wine. May nations serve you and peoples bow down to you. Be Lord over your brothers, and may the sons of your mother bow down to you. May those who curse you be cursed, and those who bless you be blessed. So, check. He got that. He got the birthright. He got the blessing. And then, of course, Esau comes back, and he is furious. This brother of mine just stole my blessing too. And he's like, Dad, it wasn't me. And his dad's like, I got none left. I got nothing. I can't give you anything more. Your brother took it all. And he is now livid. He is so mad. He says, no, there's only one thing I can do. I have to kill my brother now, because now he's just a conniving little thief. And then Jacob is obviously doesn't want to get killed. So what does he do? He flees, and off he goes. He goes to Laban, that is his uncle. And then while he's on his way to Laban, in Genesis 28:14, God comes to him in a dream and he says this: "All peoples on earth will be blessed through you and your offspring. I am with you and I will watch over you wherever you go, and I will bring you back to this land. I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you." I'm like, yes, can we hear that God is saying that to us this morning? I'll read it again. And this "all peoples" is all of us, because this is his offspring. Jacob is part of the lineage of Jesus. So all peoples on earth will be blessed through you and your offspring. That's us. And "I am with you and I will watch over you wherever you go, and I will bring you back to this land. I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you." Okay, so now he has blessing from dad, check. Blessing from God, check. He's on his way. This guy's sorted. So, love at first sight, he meets. Okay, I just have to tell you this. There's a lot of names in this. And I'm so bad with names. So Helen's like, just don't mess up the names, Yulani. Don't mess up the names. So he fell in love with Rachel, okay? It's like too many women. Okay, so love at first sight. He falls in love with Rachel. He gets some trickery of his own because he marries Leah. This is the other funny part. He marries Leah. He is with her the night, like, read in between the lines, what are they doing? And then wake up the next morning, and then, oh, you're not Rachel. I'm like, geez, must be very dark in there. Anyway, so he has to work another 7 years. He has two wives. So this guy was really blessed. And then lots of children, all the things are happening. And then you can go read. I'm just fast forwarding. Harman, you only get to have one wife. And then, yeah, you're blessed enough. I'm like two persons. So there we go. Okay, so then he goes and he just gets blessing on blessing. Like, he says, "I'm only going to take the speckled flock." Now, all of a sudden, all the flock is speckled. Like, this guy, he's just getting blessed by God. And then Laban's other kids, they're getting a little unsettled now. They're like, "I don't really like this guy. Like, he is just stealing our inheritance now." And then they want to go after him. So in Genesis 31, God comes and he says, "Go back to the land of your fathers and to your relatives, and I will be with you." And I'm sure that Jacob went like, no thanks. I'm good. I'll just fight this Laban battle that I'm here now. I don't want to go back, because what is back? If he goes back, that means he has to face Esau, who wants to kill him. Great. Thank you, God. This is awesome. But he's good. He's a good servant. So he listens. He rallies up the troops, and then off they go. And now I can just imagine they've probably traveled a few days and it's been a hard travel. He's traveling with his wives and all his livestock and all the things. And now it's like that point where he has to go and meet Esau. No, it's only a short distance to go. And then he says, okay, I'm going to send messengers to just go maybe check it out a bit. And then in Genesis 32, he instructed them, "This is what you are to say to my lord Esau. Your servant," Jacob says. It's like, your servant. Interesting choice. You just stole his birthright. But okay, that's good. So he had a very good change of heart. He's coming to him as a servant. And he says, "I have been staying with Laban and have remained there till now. I have cattle and donkeys, sheep and goats, male and female servants. Now I am sending this message to my lord that I may find favor in your eyes." And then the messenger comes back. "We went to your brother Esau, and now he is coming to meet you. And 400 men are with him." Like, great. I'm so excited right now. "In great fear and distress, Jacob divided his people." I think he thought, okay, so if they attack that group of mine, then at least I still have this little group to go on with. And if they attack this group, at least I can flee and run away with that group. He must have been so afraid. Like now this 400 men are coming with him too. And then in verse 9, then Jacob prayed, O God of my father Abraham, God of my father Isaac, Lord, you who said, go back to your country and your relatives, and I will make you prosper. I am unworthy of all the I am unworthy of all the kindness and faithfulness you have shown your servant. I had only my staff when I crossed this Jordan, but now I have become two camps. Save me, I pray, from the hand of my brother Esau, for I am afraid he will come and attack me, and also the mothers with their children. But you have said, I will surely make you prosper, and I will make your descendants like the sand of the sea, which cannot be counted. And then it goes on. He sends gifts. Now he's sending gifts to Esau, just like anything. I think he's trying to really butter this guy up, you know, like, please save me. Please don't kill me. And then he goes on, and then he wrestles with God. This is now the night before. He knows it's D-Day. Tomorrow I'm meeting Esau. I'm not sure what's going to happen. And then that whole night, he's just wrestling with God. And then it is in Genesis 32, verse 26. Then the man said, let me go, for it is daybreak. But Jacob replied, I will not let you go unless you bless me. The man asked him, what is your name? Then the man said, your name will no longer be Jacob, because you have struggled with God and with humans, and you have overcome. And then he goes, it's nighttime. The next morning, he's up. In Genesis 33, this is the big D-Day now. Jacob looked up, and there was Esau coming with his 400 men. And then we'll skip to verse 3. He himself, this is Jacob, went on ahead and bowed down to the ground 7 times as he approached his brother. It must have looked pretty ridiculous, like, please forgive me. Just please don't kill me. And then verse 4, but Esau ran to meet Jacob and embraced him. He threw his arms around his neck and he kissed him, and they wept. I'm like, ah, what a great story of reconciliation. These people went from like killing, fleeing, stealing to reconciliation. And I'll just pause here for 1 second. When I was preparing for this, I just asked God, like, what really is standing out here? And I just think, I was asking him, what do you want to say to these people? And I think that there's people that are struggling here with that reconciliation. And I just want to tell you that God is good, and keep having faith. It was years before they reconciled. And there is hope. Don't lose hope. God can do anything. We serve an amazing God. Okay, so where am I in my notes? You see, I didn't look at my notes at all. I always like to look when I read something, how does this connect back to Jesus? What if we look at the scripture, how can we connect it to Jesus? And then if we look at Esau getting tricked and giving away his birthright and trading it for a bowl of stew, then Jesus came and he laid down his life. He gave everything for us so that we can have birthright, that we can be called children of God. Isn't that amazing? And then on the other hand, that Esau forgave Jacob for stealing his birthright and his blessing. And God forgives us all the time because we steal from him all the time. And you might be thinking, well, what am I stealing from God? We steal from him all the time. We're stealing time. He's asking us, I want to spend time with you. And we're saying, no, I don't feel like it. I'm not into it today. I don't want to spend time with you right now. He's asking us to lay down our lives for our husbands, to lay down our lives for our kids. He's asking us to tithe. Oh, man, when we were thinking, praying for tithing for Summit Life, I was like, okay, yeah, we want to give towards Summit Life. We want to really bless that church. And And then I was praying, and I'll just make up numbers. So I thought, okay, we should give them like $10. And then other people were asking us for money in the same time. So I'm like, maybe it's like $10 for all of them. You know, like 7 for Jordan, 1 for this guy, 2 for that guy. Just like, maybe I think it's just 10 to give away, right, God? And then Harman goes and he prays and he comes back and he says, yeah, I think we should give $10. I'm like, yeah, for everyone, right? It's like, no, God said give $10 for them. Like, can we just be obedient? Can we just listen and hear what God is asking of us and stop stealing from him? But when we do, he stands there with open arms, ready to embrace us. He is there. He is dividing our sins east and west so far apart we can't even imagine. I have 5 points that I want to lighten throughout this scripture if we look at Jacob's story. When we are in conflict, what can we remember? Number one, God is good. He is the creator of the heaven on the earth, and he cares about you. You, I don't have so many fingers and so many eyeballs. I'm looking at all of you and pointing to you. He cares about you. And if we look at the story about from Jacob, God comes all along the way and he says, I will bless you. Go there because I will be with you. Do that, I will be with you. Can you hear that? That God will be with you. He's not going to leave you. He will be with you. And then sometimes when he asks us to be obedient, that leads to conflict. He asked Jacob, go back to Esau. He knew that it was going to cause conflict. He didn't know that he was going to come and embrace him. Last time he checked, he wanted to kill him. So can we stand firm on what we believe and not bend to the rules of what the world says? If you believe in something, I love what Leonard always says, is don't agree with what you don't agree with. Don't for the sake of a conversation. I'm looking at Jolene sitting there. It's like she was selling cars for a bit. And she said, I don't want to lie to people. Can we just stand to that? I don't want to lie to sell a car. It's not worth it. Can we just stand and say that this is the truth and the end? Okay. And then I'm going to Romans 28. Oh, sorry. Doesn't go that far. Romans 8:28. And we know that in all things God works the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. And I think that's such a key thing to remember when we're going through those conflict moments, is that he will work it out for good. Okay, number two, what is your posture to your offender? Jacob came and he said, I am a servant. He went and he bowed 7 times. If Harman and I are in a fight, I don't want to be the servant. I want to be telling him, I am the one. Like, that's not going to bring you anywhere. What are we doing? How are we raising our kids? Are we having that humble posture? What is our posture towards fights in our life? If we fight with our boss, if someone does something to you that hurts them, that first response is never, oh, I'm so humble. That first response is, I'm so mad and you're so wrong. Like, can we just be humble? I'll read Psalm 149:4. For the Lord takes delight in his people. He crowns the humble with victory. And it's so backwards from what the world says. The world doesn't want to crown the humble. Oh, you're so weak. I don't want to give you a crown. But we're not in the world. We're part of God's kingdom. And in that kingdom, you get a crown for being humble. So, can we be humble? Okay, point number three. I'm like, 3 and 4 together. Maybe I should merge them. I didn't even look when I started. I'm so new at this. Okay. Number three, wrestle with God. So Jacob wrestled a few times. He always, whenever there was a situation, he went back to his knees and he prayed. If there was, and then he was at that point where he knew it was D-Day. He didn't sleep. He was wrestling with God all night long and begging him for the blessing. And then here's just some promises, and I know most of you know these verses, but I just love them. I feel like, you know, those are the ones that are always in your mother's washroom against the wall, you know, how they have the verses. So Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. All things, not some things, all things. He strengthens us to do all things. Psalm 5:12, his favor will surround you like a shield. Romans 8:31, if God is for you, who can be against you? Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. And I was like, oh, I should give an example here, but I didn't want to get too emotional, but so I'll just talk very quick. So the last time I really wrestled with God is when we had a miscarriage. And I was confused. I was like, what? Why did this happen? Because I was really done by two. I was like, one, two kids, you know, we're out of the diapers. We can fly to South Africa easily. It's just when you weigh those pro and cons lists. I know my pro list was very, selfish. Anyway, so I prayed about it, and God was like, no, I think you should have a third one. I'm like, I don't know. Oh, I don't know. And then I said, okay, I'll tell Herman. And then, of course, he's just going to say, let's just have two. So I go to Herman. I'm like, okay, sweetie, what do you think? I think we should have another one, but no, right? No. He's like, no, we should have another one. What? What? And then, okay, it's baby-making time now, so we're going to have a baby. And then it just didn't work. Well, it worked. I got pregnant, and then I had a miscarriage. And it was an awful experience in the shock and the, like, you think, oh, it's not going to happen to me. My mom didn't have any miscarriages. My granny didn't have any. It literally didn't even occur to me to think that I would have a miscarriage. And here it happened. And I was so mad at God. I was like, but you told me. I didn't even want another baby. You told me. And I was wrestling. And he just kept coming back with, my name will be glorified. And I've got you. And this is not defining the rest of your life. And we have to trust that. But if we don't go and wrestle with God, he's not going to settle our hearts. We will just be mad. We will just have this conflict with him. And it won't get settled. Because we have to go and wrestle with him. Okay, number four. Not fleur. Or that too, if you want. Okay, don't let conflict come and steal and disrupt. So this wasn't very clear in the passage. They didn't say that this conflict stole from Jacob now. But I do believe that when he was at that time where he had to meet his brother and he was dividing the flocks and he was sending the gifts and sending the messengers and getting the children settled and the wives settled, I'm sure they were like, let's give him some space. I think he needs a little space. I don't think he was giving them the five love languages, you know, oh, my sweet little wife, give you some touch, do you want a gift? I think his mind was consumed with meeting Esau. I think he was so stressed and he wasn't a happy guy to be with. And that is how I get when I'm in conflict. It's horrible. It's like you're not a pretty person. And we don't have to be like that. We don't have to let that conflict come in and steal from us. We were on the same holiday to Christina Lake, and we were packing the car. So I could call Herman. This is the house with like crazy stairs up and down. And so I could tell him, love, this little pile is for the car, like easy access. This little pile is for like stack it away anyway. So it's very clear. There were two piles. So I come down to the car. What do I see? The piles are all mixed up. They're all everywhere. Whew, I lost it. I was so mad. And now thinking back, I'm like, oh, that was so stupid. Why was I so mad about that? But I was really mad because it was very specific. I planned this because we were going to go get fruit somewhere. So I needed this for the fruit and this space. Like, I'm a planner. I planned this thing. This packing was very, very serious business, guys. Like, packing the car. And then his mother and his dad is there and the two children. And now I'm like throwing stuff and I'll pack it. No. Just throwing my toys out of the cart. Leonard says, you know, reacting at an 8 when you're supposed to be reacting at a 2. I guess this was a 2, but kind of felt like an 8. And then we were driving and it's so tense. And I just have to tell you this. So whenever Helene and I have an argument, David would always say, like, what he wasn't doing. So if I tell her, Helene, you just threw that on the floor. Why are you doing that? David would just sit there happily, Mommy, I didn't throw it on the floor. And I felt like I could hear that silently from everyone in the car. Like my mother-in-law telling me, I didn't pack the car. And David, Mommy, I didn't pack the car. My father-in-law was half guilty because he didn't hear the two things and he messed it up. So he was kind of quiet, but everyone was just like, crick, crick, riding in the car. Yulani's like flames going out of her eyeballs. So I was like, okay, just want to apologize for the way I reacted. Wasn't very kind. Don't laugh, I did do that. But it's just, like, what does it matter? Why am I disrupting the whole car and this very long journey we have to drive now because of a conflict between me and Herman that wasn't even his fault that I shouldn't have even reacted to? And I think it's, yeah, can we be cautious of the people around us? That conflict that you have at work, when you come home, are you bringing that to your wife? Are you taking it out on them? Where is the conflict going where it is... You get what I'm saying. I should just quit now. Okay, number 5. Let go and let God. So after Jacob had wrestled with God, he was at that point, we couldn't really do anything now. It was done. He just had to go, but he had to let it go and let God do the rest. There wasn't anything more for him to do. In Proverbs 3... Verse 5 to 6, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him and he will make your path straight. In all your ways, not in just a few or just these 5 and maybe this one I'll keep to myself. In all your ways, submit to him and he will make your path straight. When we had to let go and let God, for me, the biggest example is when we had to come to Canada. And most of you know the story, but we did our applications, we filled in, or we did the work. And then you can only do the work up until a point. And then you have to let it go. And we were hoping that that let go phase will be 2 months, but it ended up being 2 years. We don't know what that let go phase is, but you have to get to that point where you know that I have to let go now and let God. I'll end off with one more story. This was my... Except the conflict that gets added to your life when you have people living in your house for 4 weeks, the tension. I have the dearest mother-in-law and father-in-law, but it does add tension, and it does add that conflict, and I had to remove myself a few times. Okay, Jesus, just help me stay calm, and let's do this, and... The other story that I don't really fight with anyone else except Herman and the children, so poor them, they have to get all the grunt work. But I did recently have a very unexpected fight with someone. I do property management on the side when I'm not raising kids. Well, I'd raise kids while I do that anyway. Anyway, so this is a tenant, and he's a Russian guy. Russians are pretty passionate. And we had a massive, massive misunderstanding, and he blew up. He was so, so, so mad at me, and people don't really get mad at me. I'm a friendly person, you know, and he was, I don't know. Anyway, and I just kept, I feel like I went through all of these steps. Some I did better than others. In that moment, I had to remember that God is good. And it doesn't matter how the outcome of this is going to be, because there were lots of moving parts. It wasn't just, we had a fight and it's done and it doesn't affect my life anymore. It's still affecting my life, because now I still have a house that I couldn't rent out because of this guy. So it is still affecting me, but God is good and I have to trust in that. And then what is your posture to your offender? I kept on apologizing. I didn't tell him all the horrible things that he did and all the things that he did wrong as a tenant. I just kept on saying, I'm really sorry if we misunderstood. What can I do to help you? And I tried to make it as smooth for him. I tried to stay humble. And then I wrestled with God. I was like, what is going on here? Why is this happening? Why is this guy being so rude to me? This is not fun. And I'm sure that God is shaping me and I learned some things and how I'm going to deal with future stuff. But I had to go through that time of prayer and wrestling. And wrestling it out with friends as well. It's good to, in those conflict moments, talk to Helen, talk to Herman, talk to your friend, and get some people to pray for you. And then don't let conflict come and steal and disrupt. It was for sure disrupting us. Literally, I was sitting at the dinner table just thinking, this guy is like going to hit me in the face when I see him again. It was like in my mind, wasn't present. We have to be able to let that go. And I had to get to that point where I'm going to let it go and let God. So I just decided I'm just going to ignore it and see, because there was also a D-Day. I had to see him again. I had to go up to him and do a move-out inspection. And he didn't ever acknowledge that I sent him all these. It's like text of, I'm sorry, how can I help this? He just ignored it. And anytime he would send anything back, it would be very harsh and mean. And so there was no reconciliation. There was no, it's okay, don't worry about it, or I forgive you. There was none of that. So I had no idea how this guy was feeling about me. And then I went up to them, and he was like all smiles and friendly. I was like, here's a gift, I'm really sorry, and just like sign this and get out. Okay, bye. But I had to let it go and then let God come and do his work. And it doesn't always work out like that. You don't always get to that conflict point and then the guy standing with open arms embracing you and kissing you. Not everyone reacts the way Esau reacted, and that's okay. But then we trust God in those situations. So, what am I saying? I'm saying, do you hear that God is with you and that he is going through that journey with you and that you can trust him and lean into him and he loves you? Can you think on that for a moment, that he is bigger than whatever conflict you have? Yeah. The end.